You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time, and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and College Hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO. Follow us on Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/LockedOnShibles. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Our text and voicemail line is 331-979-1369. Pull out your phone right now. Save that number in your phone as Locked On Bulls. And anytime you've got something to say, you've got a feeling about this Bulls team, and you're going to need that number, plug this in as Locked On Bulls in your contacts right now, 331-979-1369. Hit us up there with your text messages and your voicemails. Well, back from the weekend, Matt, and wow, did I not expect what went down this weekend. You know, I just told you off air. I was like, I was excited. I had a bunch of notes from the OKC win. It was a feel-good win on Friday, and the bombs just went off at the United Center, at the Advocate Center over the last 48 hours, and I don't even know where to begin, but this has been one of the wildest weekends I can remember as being a Chicago Bulls fan or even covering this team.
I just, I'm simultaneously speechless and have so many things that I feel like I need to get off my chest. First and foremost, thank God for our beloved Chicago Bears and the fact that they're relevant again and got an amazingly impressive defense-led win over the best team in the NFC, what people thought was the best team in the NFC last night. Like, when all of this stuff started to come out yesterday afternoon about the practice that never was and the players-only meeting that followed that was followed by a players meeting with the coaches, and then also the front office was there and they didn't practice and they aired their grievances. I was in such a rotten freaking mood yesterday, and thank God for the Bears. But unfortunately now, like, I still have a little bit of positive vibes this morning, you know, victory Monday morning kind of thing. And I'm looking ahead looking forward to Bears continuing what they're doing this season. But now, like, it has been completely overtaken, all of that positive mojo from last night's Bears win, because I woke up this morning and I was like, ah, fuck. Fuck, the Bulls are in such an embarrassing situation right now, and I hate it.
I don't even know where to start with this story, man. Like, You go from a game-winning shot from Markkanen on Friday night, feel good. You know, everybody's like, okay, they bounced back. We're finally getting guys to buy in, maybe. And then Saturday, the Bulls go down 17-0. They rip the starters out. Starters are gone. I mean, it took Jabari Parker to hit 2 free throws within. I mean, the Bulls didn't even get their first bucket until 6 minutes into the game. It took Jabari Parker knocking down 2 free throws to get on the board. You know, I'm all right with that. I was fine with Boylan pulling the starters, making a statement there. And I think the biggest problem of this whole entire thing bothered me, and it bothered the players too, is him ripping all the starters out in the second half. you know, 2.5 minutes into the second half to quote unquote make a statement, or, oh, we didn't want to waste these guys in order to practice on Sunday. That there bothered me the most, because I knew it was never about a practice. It was about Jim Boylan, frankly, pardon my language here, but swinging his coaching dick around in the first week. That's what this was. That's what Saturday was. And he doubled, tripled, and quadrupled down on Saturday and Sunday. And that is the thing that I continue to go back to, Matt, is pulling your starters and embarrassing them. And that's the fine line that a lot of the writers, a lot of people, and a lot of Bulls fans have been talking about this weekend, is where's the fine line between straight up embarrassing professionals and trying to make a statement to get your guys to buy in? And to me, you know, Jim Boylan took about two leaps over that line on Saturday. That's just my opinion.
I mean, we were talking earlier last week about, okay, well, they wanted a change in culture. They wanted a change at the head coaching spot because Fred wasn't getting it done from a, you know, inspirational standpoint, getting his guys ready and jazzed up to play and play, getting them to play with that spirit, that fire that Paxson was talking about. And so, okay, you fire good cop and make bad cop the head coach. So now there isn't a balance of good cop, bad cop. It's just bad cop. And you and I were wondering, you know, how long, if at all, will it last that this young team, young, inexperienced, not winning a lot of games, will buy into the bad cop as head coach thing? And we talked about how Tom Thibodeau was able to do that for several seasons here in Chicago because you saw the winning results of it. Players like Joakim and Lou Wall were willing to be yelled at and reprimanded and constantly scolded and you know, people and their head coach being not impressed with whatever it was that they did and never satisfied with what they did because they saw winning results on the floor. They were able to put up with that. But this Bulls team right now, healthy or not healthy, is undermanned and out-talented and outgunned on a nightly basis this season. So there's not really a whole lot of leeway for Boylan to say, "I'm all right, just bear with me as bad cop because you'll see the results." We got one impressive win this season against the Thunder that happened to be the night before this Celtics game. And, you know, we said to ourselves, how long will it last that these young kids buy in and are willing to get yelled at and embarrassed by Jim Boylan? Turns out the answer was less than a week. My God.
It's on some college and some high school BS, man. Like, that approach does not work in the modern NBA. You know, you can talk about toughness and you can talk about, these guys are weak if they don't want to go out and practice and do their job, which I saw a lot of those comments of the last 48 hours. And this isn't about toughness. This isn't about, you know, grind these guys out. And those people out there that think these players are being weak for not wanting to show up to practice and, you know, go out there and do your job and go out there and practice. This is your only job. Man, those same types of people are going to be the same ones that the first time that one of our guys, one of the core guys gets hurt and it's a major injury, you're going to be that same person that's going to turn around and say, why was he grinding him so hard? Why were we practicing back-to-backs? All of this BS, man, it's not about toughness. It's not. Because these guys grind. If you watch these guys talk to anybody around the NBA, this is a nonstop grind. Look, it's very uncommon for teams to practice after they traveled on a game day. The Bulls did that on Thursday after playing the Pacers on Wednesday. That's uncommon, but they went ahead and did that. What's even more extremely uncommon is to practice after a back-to-back. Hoiberg did it this season. I get that. After that embarrassing loss to Charlotte, he did that. But this is three games in 4 days, and you just got blown out by 56 at home. The worst franchise loss in history. And by the way, Matt, this game didn't need to be the worst loss in franchise history. This game didn't need to get to 56-point deficit. It just didn't. And Boylan was going to stick to his guns and say, you know what, I'm making a statement, and I don't even care if this ends up being a franchise historical loss for this Bulls team. And I just, it's so frustrating.
It's all a joke, man. It really is. The stuff that you're talking about right now with Boylan making guys work hard and a full week of practice, you know, and not just practices, but like 2 to 3 hour long practices. And he's having them run wind sprints and all this stuff because he said after like the first game that he coached, when he took over for Fred, I'm disappointed in our conditioning. That's going to change. So you wonder just how tired these guys were going to be. And look, dude, I saw this blowout loss to the Celtics coming from a mile away. Everybody say, wow, like we beat the Thunder. Let's see what we can do against the Celtics. Hell no. The long week of practice that Boylan dragged those guys through and all of the energy and effort that they expended to get what was, not taking anything away from them, a very impressive win against a good Thunder team. Playing in the second night of a back-to-back against also a very good Celtics team, you knew that the Bulls were going to come out in the first quarter flat and lacking in energy. And if the Celtics were knocking down their shots and executing their offense, you knew that the Bulls were going to dig themselves a hole. And that's exactly what happened. So if Boylan wants to send a message to his starters and was not impressed enough with their effort on the offensive end or defensive end to say, I'm going to do a five-man sub here, to just send a quick message when you're you know down 13-0 to start the game, fine. But as you said, it's about the fact that he once again did a full five-man swap just a couple minutes, I think like 3 minutes and change into the third quarter, and benched all the starters, and they never came back. So you want to talk, Jim Boylan wants to talk about, I thought your play was embarrassing. Okay, so the Bulls missed some shots to start a game where they were a little flat-footed, and the Celtics jumped out to a quick lead. Anyone should have seen that coming. Boylan should have seen that coming. So to send a message in the first quarter, fine. But Zach LaVine sitting there in the postgame locker room saying, yeah, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed, and it was hard to watch that lead just go up and up and up. We're sitting on the bench, and we can't do anything about it. And you want to tell me, as the head coach of this team, that my play is embarrassing? You didn't even give me a chance to play. LaVine, Wendell, and Markkanen all played 20 or fewer minutes on Saturday night. Like, what the hell is that? You can't call out your team for their embarrassing play when you're trying to get your bench scrubs, who should probably be in the G League, to compete evenly with one of the best and deepest teams in the league. Like, are you freaking kidding me?
The thing that bothers me the most, Matt, and this is the thing that has, I can put this at the forefront of the things that bother me about this franchise. I can put this at the top of the list. It's the lies, man. The lies from everybody. The lies from the front office, the lies from the head coaches, the misinformation, the lead us astray, take us one way, and really you're going the other. And that's what Boylan did after this game, man. He told us that he benched his starters in order to run a practice. And, you know, I sat there Saturday night reading through all of these quotes, and that one popped up, and I'm like, huh? I'm like, you benched your starter in in-game situations when you're rebuilding in order to practice on a Sunday after a back-to-back, and you have a game on Monday. You've been around the NBA and around basketball for 30-plus years. This isn't college. You don't play two games in a week. You play three, potentially four, on top of traveling. This isn't college. This isn't high school, and this isn't the way it's run. And to make a statement like that and then turn around and wonder why your players were at the brink of not showing up on Sunday, and you wonder why. The other thing, Matt, too, is you come into this team and you become head coach of the Chicago Bulls, and you come in with Pop pedigree, and you don't have the clout Popovich has. This is what happens, man. Bring Greg Popovich up all you want, but sorry to tell Jim Boylan, you don't have the pedigree to back that up, and players don't respond to that. You also don't have the talent on this roster that is going to respond the same way that San Antonio does. You want to run it out there and act like we're going to change this team into the culture of San Antonio Spurs? Get the hell out of here with that. We're more like the Orlando Magic than we are the San Antonio Spurs. We are more like Phoenix Suns than we are like the San Antonio Spurs. So I don't want to hear the whole, I worked for Greg Popovich. This is what Greg Popovich did. I don't care, because you don't have the respect to back that up. And I'm sorry, your players frankly just told you that Sunday by basically saying we were on the brink of not showing up. So that's where I'm at.
It's it's not just about what happened yesterday after, you know, a week of building and growing frustrations. And certainly, like, from what we have heard, as far as it's been reported, the players, after debating whether to not show up or my other favorite, which Darnell reported, Darnell Mabry with his athletic piece yesterday afternoon, is that one of the other things they thought about doing was showing up only to then turn in unison as a team and walk off. basically like pulling a Smash Williams from Friday Night Lights when he and the other black players are mutinying against the assistant coach Mac, who said something racist, and it's like started this huge player revolt. Like, the Bulls almost pulled a Smash from Friday Night Lights and showed up to just walk off. That is so embarrassing. For the fact that that has now been leaked, not just to Chicago sports fans, but national media, and this story of what went down at the Advocate Center yesterday is already getting national media attention. This is a just like the next on a large, fat pile of embarrassing things that have come out of this Bulls organization over the last handful of years. And to top it off, while the Bulls were getting run off their home floor and their new head coach was just punishing his starters to send a message like they were some middle school kid sitting in detention, Joe Cowley dropped that bomb while the game was happening about how this isn't about players responding to coaches in the right way. And this wasn't about Fred losing the locker room. This goes back to the fact that Gar wanted to fire Fred years ago when Fred went over Gar's head to honor his players' request to not have Gar around them and not have Gar travel with the team. And Gar wanted to fire Fred on the spot when he pulled that move. And here we are. The Bulls just fired Fred, Gar's handpicked guy, and are talking about building the right culture and replace him with a Tom Thibodeau clone. And then we get that while we're being embarrassed on the floor. We get that dropped on us. Like, it is all one big fat joke. And all of the incompetence points to the top. You can feel sympathy for the players. You can be mad at what Jim Boylan did as a head coach of this team on Saturday night. You can question whether or not he's the right guy and whether or not they're going to buy in and how they'll respond tonight. But the biggest freaking joke of all of this is that the guys at the top are still just like, blah-de-da-de-da, we'll see how Jim responds to this. I'm going to go, you know, collect another paycheck and not worry about my job security. Reinsdorf's off somewhere concerning himself with MLB winter meetings, doesn't give a fuck about his basketball franchise. It's a joke. It makes me sick.
How about that? How about Harold Baines getting into the Hall of Fame and that in the quote from Bob Nightingale, who used to cover a lot of the Chicago teams around here, is known to be like the source from Jerry Reinsdorf, said Jerry Reinsdorf was influential in getting Harold Baines into the Hall of Fame. Like, he cares more about that and cares more about signing Bryce Harper, which I'll take my Sox bias away for a second, but that to me is just absolutely wild. Matt, I've got one sliver of positivity that comes from all of this, and I didn't share it on Twitter. I didn't know how it was going to respond, but I want to say it here. The one thing that I think that I can take away from this, regardless of the front office, regardless of the head coaches, the players sticking together. I think to me that speaks volumes to me. You know, you want to be pissed off about the management, and you want to be pissed off about the coaching staff. Imagine if the players weren't together. Like, hearing that they formed a text group and hearing that the veterans went to Jim Boylan's office immediately after that game and told him, man, you can't run a practice tomorrow. You are going to lose everybody. And he still said, I don't care. We're doing this. That's what we're doing. And that's why they had to shift their focus and go and try something different. And Darnell said it, and Malika Andrews from ESPN said it, and there's been multiple other reports that have mentioned, you know, between Saturday night's loss and the start of Sunday morning, there was a text chain going on between all of these players. That, to me, I can take positively. If the players weren't sticking together and they started taking sides from this and started to fracture as a unit, then I would be just completely off this ship of this Bulls thing. But the players at least sticking together gives me a sliver of positivity. And that's the only positive I can take away from this weekend, is that the players stuck together and they made a decision together because they saw what was going on. And they've had a wild week, too. Think about the week that they've gone through. Lose Fred Hoiberg, get fired, and then you go on the road, and then you're trying to adjust to Jim Boylan's system, and then all of this shit happens, and then you lose in the worst possible way in one of the most embarrassing losses in franchise history, and then all of this stuff comes out. Like, that to me, if I can take anything positive away from this, it was the players sticking together.
Yeah, I mean, fine. You can, if you're looking for a silver lining, you can say that, but it took Robin Lopez, who we learned was the one, along with Lauri Markkanen, good for the kid, who were really voicing their opinion that, look, it wouldn't be right for us to not show up. It wouldn't be right for us to show some defiant act of mutiny by showing up to practice just to walk off the floor and send them a message. Here's a quote direct quote from Robin Lopez from our friend Casey Johnson, who was talking to the media just earlier today around noon. Rolo said, quote, "I have a lot of experience. I'm going to give my two cents. It seemed like showing up was the respectful thing to do. We came out of yesterday the better for it." Now, whether or not you believe that this Bulls team can come through what they went through yesterday and come out all rosy on the other side, and God, I can't wait to see how they respond against the Kings tonight and what that game will look like. But credit to Rolo and credit to Markkanen for saying, guys, this isn't the right way to do this. We have grievances. We want to air grievances player to player and player to coach. That's fine. But let's not, you know, make some act like, you know, some petulant children or whatever. But the thing is, if you're trying to say the silver lining is that the players stuck together through this, yes, they did manage to come to some kind of agreement yesterday as to how to approach this. We're going to have a players-only meeting, and then when all the players are on the same page, we're going to talk to Boylan and the coaching staff about what we have an issue with and how we want to address things moving forward. The fact that some players needed talking off the ledge from Rolo and Markkanen, the fact that some players wanted to display some kind of mutiny yesterday, those feelings might have subsided for now, and those feelings may have been quelled a little bit yesterday, but those feelings are not gone. I promise you those feelings are not gone. And now we're sitting here wondering, who were those players, right, that wanted to display that mutiny and not show up or walk off the practice floor? I'm wondering, maybe one of them was Zach LaVine, who clearly was very ticked off in his postgame comments Saturday night after getting benched and not playing essentially at all in the second half, saying, "I was embarrassed by that." And so you wonder, like, that was just me making a guess as to who that may have been. All we know is that Rolo and Markkanen were the ones who talked to their teammates off the ledge. We don't know who the teammates were that wanted to not show up and who wanted to mutiny. So now we're sitting here wondering which part of this Bulls locker room is divided right now. God bless Rolo for being the veteran leader that this team needs right now. But who is still not happy? Who is still not buying into Boylan? Who does not like the way he's operating things right now? And when will that crop back up? Because it will crop back up.
Robin Lopez, Lauri Markkanen, even Justin Holliday and Zach LaVine, who were the ones who ran the players-only meeting, I think speaks to what they're trying to do. And just, you know, Zach LaVine and Wendell Carter Jr. both said the same thing, that it was, you know, we have to air things out. We finally have to be honest with each other, and we've got to be honest with the coaching staff. And whether or not that taps into Boylan and said, dude, like, you're overdoing it. Like, this is not going to get us to buy in. I don't know how they respond today. And like you said, I think those festering feelings among those two or three players that were potentially looking to revolt against this practice that they were going to hold on Sunday, I think you're 100% spot on. Those feelings are probably diminished for right now. But another bad thing that happens over the course of the next, 50 games to the end of the season, like, those feelings are going to probably pop up again at some point. And like you said, I don't really want to speculate about who it was and who those players are, because we're not 100% certain. And I don't want to say anything about a player that I don't know for 100% facts. But it is kind of interesting. And if you do process of elimination just from the names that you've heard that kind of stepped up as leaders and also have kind of made comments that you can kind of cross them off the list, you can get down to about 6 players that you could maybe potentially think those are the guys that wanted to revolt. I mean, it's pretty easy when you only got 15 guys on the roster, but you can cross out about half of them by just process of elimination. But I don't want to do the whole speculation on who it was. And maybe we'll find out. Maybe there's another disaster waiting to happen a month from now, and we'll really find out who those guys were.
Yeah, and to that end, I mean, as we're recording this right now, we're getting live updates from Jim Boylan speaking to the media after this morning shoot-around right now. This one comes to us from Malika Andrews of ESPN. Boylan, quote, "The truth is we had a couple guys who thought a Sunday practice was excessive. So I explained to them that you have to trust me. Some guys felt it was excessive. We cleared that up and we're moving on." This one comes from Mike McGraw of the Daily Herald. Boylan, quote, "We did not splinter after Boston game. End quote. He called it a disagreement about practice. Said there were a couple of guys who felt it was excessive to practice Sunday after a busy week. So we just got from multiple different sources the same report about Boylan saying it was just about some guys thinking a Sunday practice was too much. And it wasn't necessarily anything about the way that that Celtics game went. And apparently what we're hearing in these updates as they come in while we're recording is that Boylan was very passionate in defending himself and defending his approach to what happened over the past couple of days. So, I mean, take that for what it is. Do you buy that? Because I don't. If there was enough of a discontent among at least a non-zero and non-singular number of players on this team right now and in that locker room who were so upset about this that they were talking about having some kind of mutiny, Boylan can try and spin this all he wants as like growing pains and, oh, this is good for us, or we're going to come out better for this. Come on. I mean, spin is spin. And the fact that this happened and the fact that it got leaked that this happened, because, hey, it's not even really that hard of a leak. Like, the media showed up because they had a practice scheduled. And, hey, whoop, no practice. And Boylan tried to spin it to say, oh, well, that's like that was my plan all along. Come on. Like, the lies are so apparent. They are so transparent. And you can take any kind of silver lining, and you can take Boylan's comments at face value if you want to. But bottom line, it took this team less than a week to get sick of how Boylan operates.
I mean, it's not surprising at all, man. Like, it takes a certain person to respond to the way Boylan coaches, right? Jimmy Butler is a perfect example. It responded to what Tom Thibodeau would do here in Chicago. Some players do that, but, you know, talking about young players in this league, they don't respond the same way that players that were young players in the 90s respond. I'm sorry, that's just the case. Like, players are more sensitive than they were 20 years ago. That's just a fact. Like, the same type of approaches that worked in the 90s and the early 2000s and that maybe worked in college, frankly, aren't working here. Tell me, does Steve Kerr or Brad Stevens or Eric Spoelstra or Greg Popovich have guys running lines after back-to-backs and talking about how poor their conditioning is and just ripping into players in the media? Coaches like that don't approach the game that way because they know modern players won't respond that way. And to me, to go ass backwards and completely reverse course of the way that this team is coaching and the way that the culture is supposed to be built up goes directly contradicts the way that this league is going. By the way, I wanted to update our Bulls fans. We're going to watch the game tonight. Casey Johnson's reporting that Bobby Portis is going to play tonight against the Kings, and Chris Dunn said he is coming off the bench. Another question, why is Chris Dunn coming off the bench? Like, didn't we not just have this conversation a week ago about Lauri Markkanen coming off the bench playing with the second unit? That serves no purpose for this Bulls team.
Yeah, and that was a decision that was one of Fred Hoiberg's final decisions, right? Fred got Markkanen for one game, brought him off the bench, and then got fired the next day. I mean, this is, I'm glad that Bobby and Dunn are coming back. I don't know if you noticed it, Jordan, but as the Bulls were getting booed off their home floor on Saturday night, Boylan turned and was talking to Bobby Portis and Chris Dunn, who were both in their street clothes. And maybe he was saying something to those guys like this, because Boylan said after that Saturday game, still looking for leadership. This team needs leaders. And look, I know people are still skeptical as to whether or not Chris Dunn can come in and be a starting point guard that we hoped he was when we got him in the Butler trade. But he clearly was expressing himself at the beginning of this season before getting hurt about wanting to be a vocal leader on this team as the floor general, as the point guard, as the guy who's, you know, making sure guys are working together on the defensive end. And you and I think both agree that Bobby Portis is the emotional leader of this team. Certainly when he's on the floor, his teammates feed off of his energy. So Boylan could have been looking at those two guys and say, guys, I need you. I, you know, this game was rough. And, you know, I had to send a message to our starters because I feel like they didn't bring it tonight, but I need you. So as to why Chris Dunn is not starting tonight, if he's healthy enough to play, I don't know. You know, it's not like good for Archie Diacono for doing his best to hold down the fort, but the guy is not a starter in the NBA. He's just not. And, I mean, what are your other options? Campaign? Shaq Harrison? Great, great hustle guy. Solid defender. Dude can't make a shot. So, like, if the Bulls still want to believe that Chris Dunn is their guy, and he's telling you that he feels good enough to play. You can monitor his minutes, but monitor his minutes by playing him with LaVine and Markkanen and Wendell. For fuck's sake, why not?
I've got a couple other things I'm boiling real fast. I know it sounds like we're crushing him, but he deserves it. I mean, this has been a terrible start to the first week as an NBA coach. I would just say that. Like, the little things. And I just keep going back to guys aren't going to respond the way that you're coaching them, which is high schoolish and college-ish. How about Boylan going down the bench and making guys clap for LaVine when he hit a shot, you know, against the Pacers? Like, little things like that, Matt, are almost demeaning in a way. To me, like, that is just so childish. It is. It's so childish. Like, the guys obviously are sitting on the bench supporting him, but you don't need to go up and down the bench and, like, have guys clap and, like, that isn't the focus here, man. Like, little things like that just continue to piecemeal together and remind me of college days. And that's not how the NBA works. And I don't know if Boylan's going to realize this sooner rather than later, and hopefully it's sooner, because, frankly, Woj just said it this morning, said he fully anticipates Jim Boylan being the head coach all of next year. Malika Andrews, same thing. Said that this morning on ESPN 1000. Said he fully expect Jim Boylan to be the head coach until at least next season. So we need him to figure it out and figure it out fast. And hopefully he does. But Matt, the thing that bothers me too about the whole meeting and about the whole practice and all of that is the contradiction that went on. So they go into a players meeting. The players come out. Wendell Carter Jr. basically says, yeah, the players initiated this meeting. We were the ones that kind of came to an agreement and said, let's just have a meeting and talk through things instead of going out there and practicing. And then Jim Boylan comes back 10 minutes later and says, no, that was my idea. And he even tripled down on the fact that he's like, I really wanted to have a practice today, but our meetings kind of went long. So yeah, that's kind of what it was. And then on top of all of that, he had somebody in the meeting not named Jim Boylan step up and say, yeah, guys, really, this we weren't planning to have a practice today anyways. This was just kind of us, you know, you learning how to trust us by me knowing what's best for you. How do you gain trust for somebody when you're lied to, basically, when you're led astray? I don't understand that logic. If you're trying to build trust, the last thing I want to do is lie to somebody, right?
And not only lie to, but embarrassed publicly. Jim Boylan publicly shamed and slammed his players after a game that really was a franchise worst margin of defeat because of the decisions that Boylan made. And because he decided that it was better to send a message and maybe save some legs for tomorrow's practice than it was to lose, like, than it was to limit how much they were embarrassed. And again, this goes back to what I was saying in our opening remarks. Anyone could have seen a blowout loss coming. The Bulls were at the end of a long week where they had tired legs because of Boylan's practices, and he's trying to whip this team into shape. They had you know, done everything they could and fought hard to scrape out a W the previous night, second night of a back-to-back. The healthy and very deep Celtics come to town, and what? So you find yourself in a hole. Anyone could have seen that coming. It's how Boylan handled it throughout. After they got down 13-0, 17-0, it's how he handled the course of actions that transpired that night that are the reason that we are here sitting and talking about the things that happened today. He handled that poorly. He embarrassed his players by letting that game get so out of hand. He embarrassed his players by saying, I think your play is embarrassing. And within a week of being named the head coach, is shaming them to the media, which is essentially shaming them to the entire city of Chicago and the entire NBA. Everyone heard those comments. He can't take those back. So any kind of spin he's tried to say today or yesterday about what the real plan was as far as practice is spin. Because guess what? He might be a 19-year-old rookie, but if there's one person I trust us right now to tell the truth, it's Wendell, who called out this team's lack of leadership weeks ago. So if Wendell says the plan was, you know, we're having a players-only meeting, I trust Wendell. I don't trust what Jim Boylan tried to use as spin. I don't trust this team's front office, obviously. And how about that? How about the fact that the front office was also present at this not practice yesterday?
That's exactly what I was going to bring up. There's multiple people around the league that have already said it is very, very, very uncommon for the front office to join in on a players-only meeting or a meeting of this magnitude. Like, there is supposed to be some type of sacred separation between those two. And to have those two in the meeting, like, that makes absolutely zero, zero, zero sense to me.
To have those two in the meeting the day after they get, not even a full day, it came out the night before while the game was happening. The day after, there's a report that Fred was really actually fired, not because of losing the locker room, but because of going over Gar Forman's head to try to respect the wishes of his players who didn't like Gar Forman sneaking around. And like, we wonder why Randy Brown is gone, right?
That was
like,
my
this
question.
This team has a snitching issue, and nobody seems to respect Gar Forman in this town. And players on this Bulls team, some of whom might still be holdovers, but you know, according to Callie's report, this is something that happened in the Three Alphas season two seasons ago. But hey, guess what? You know, like, Bobby Portis was on that team. Like, it's not like there was nobody here that season who experienced that. So to have the front office there yesterday when there is this huge fat elephant in the room of, do the Bulls have an issue with players trusting certain members of the front office, is hilarious and simultaneously disgusting to me.
The only thing I will say about Boylan is he's doing it this way, his way. And I don't know if his way is going to work. And it clearly in the first week isn't working. But Casey Johnson has said this probably five times over the past 48, 72 hours. And he just tweeted this again. He said, what can't be stated enough is not only is Boylan coaching to his true personality, he also feels he has an organizational mandate for management and ownership to push players. So this is Boylan. They wanted Boylan because he was going to be the red ass, the guy that was going to come down hard on these players. But I think on top of that, Boylan has gone maybe a step, two steps, three steps further because of the push for management and ownership, and that's just a disgrace. Like you think that pushing the players and not having enough energy or spirit or whatever the hell buzzword you want to use today, like, if you think if that is the clear problem with this team, you're flat out fucking wrong. Talent is not on this team. Like, to think that you would stay in games night after night with some of the best teams around the league just because of lack of effort, lack of energy, all of that. No, it's lack of talent. And like, I go back to Saturday. You didn't need to lose by 56 points. You just didn't. I'm sorry, you didn't need to do that. That was Boylan's choice, and I don't know if it was to add on top of the embarrassment of the players and make them really feel it, and then also at the same time, you know, credit himself with, yeah, this is exactly why we need a practice on Sunday. It was just stupid and mind-blowing to me. Like the Bulls, yes, the entire organization deserved to be booed, and I'm so thankful that everybody that attended that game on Saturday and stayed to the end booed the shit out of them, because you know what? They frankly deserve it. And I feel bad for some of those players that didn't even get an opportunity to push them back into a respectable loss, but still, you deserve to get booed off your own damn home floor. And I don't know what this is a turning point, Matt, where people are just really not going to start to show up, but if there is a case to ever not start showing up, it would be after something like this. And I just feel bad because at the end of the day, I want to support the players. And I like a lot of the players on this team. But it's awfully damn tough when you got management saying one thing and you've got an idiot coach doing another. Like, it's just, it's mind-blowing to me.
I mean, your point about the lack of talent, I mean, that is bottom line the issue. So, you know, Boylan can preach about, oh, we gotta practice harder. Play harder and say these, you know, vague platitudes. Like here's another one of my favorite quotes from Boylan yesterday. My focus is that we're not where we need to be to compete. Obviously we want to win, but I want us to be at a level where we get the full force of what we do. I think our conditioning doesn't allow us to do that. So I'm not even to the point you're talking about. Does that make sense? I'm not dancing around the question, but we're like at ground level, the first floor. We're on A. I'd like us to get to D and E. Maybe in a couple weeks, we'll see. We can't get to D and E if we're not in shape. Like, what the fuck are you talking about, Boylan? You're talking about like the fact that like the lack of discipline and your players not being in shape is like the reason that you're losing to the Celtics by 56 points. What? No, you have a lack of talent compared to most other NBA teams. And that's why, like, at the center of all of this is still the front office and the ownership group that trusts them for some inexplicable reason. Like, you're right, Jordan. The Bulls didn't need to lose by 56 points and suffer the worst loss in franchise history on Saturday night. Boylan chose to do that. And now, because of that and what happened the following day, the Bulls are once again the laughingstock of the NBA. Laughingstock. And it's because this is the guy that the front office was convinced was the right guy to replace Fred Hoiberg, who was too much good cop and not enough bad cop and had lost the locker room and wasn't getting his guys to play with fire and spirit and la-di-da. Okay, well, guess what? He's a clone of Tom Thibodeau. And you fired Tom Thibodeau and replaced him with milquetoast Fred Hoiberg because you thought that Fred Hoiberg was going to be this great communicator. Turns out that wasn't true, and you want to fire Fred and replace him with a Tom Thibodeau clone? It's laughable. It is laughable. And the things that have transpired over the last 24 hours or so, as far as the blowout loss to the Celtics and the near mutiny that followed it, is the tip of the iceberg. And the lack of talent is so important. And it's like, hey, guess what? You're the team that decided that you needed to pick up Campaign's option and pay him $5 million next season, and the dude can't play. You're the ones who decided that you needed to sign Felicio to a four-year deal worth $32 million, and the dude can't play. Like, outside of getting a decent haul for Jimmy Butler and deciding to you know, break this down and start over and drafting Lowry and drafting Wendell, what have they done in the last 6 or 7 years that validates their job still being safe? I don't understand it. I don't. But guess what? The Reinsdorfs, Jerry doesn't care. Jerry's on his way out. Michael Reinsdorf, way too much loyalty and trust. And he's clearly a guy that doesn't understand the fact that his front office put them in this mess. How many chances are you going to give these guys? Honestly.
And that's what it goes back to. You know, the saddest part is, I think listening and just reading what Bulls fans are saying, and, you know, the jokes aside, and I had plenty of them this weekend, the jokes aside to everything, I think it's a tipping point to say, you know, the disaster that's going on with this franchise, you know, you can talk about the billboard being a staple of Bulls fans are going to put down their foot and stop going to games. This has been the tipping point. And then we get 2 years later and people are still bought in. We're still bought in. We're like, okay, finally they're going to hit the reset button. Things are going to be okay. And for a while, they were. The Bobby Portis-Nico fight, fine. But outside of that, things were okay. Things were smooth for the most part. They got a first-round pick for Nico Mirotic last year. Good on them. They did a couple of other moves. They picked up David Nwaba for basically nothing, and he turned out to be a good player. But then you let him walk at the end of the season. They've done some pretty decent things. But then to turn this on its head and come to where we are right now, I think this is the point where Bulls fans are just like, stop with the bullshit. I'm done. Like, a lot of people who are on the fringe of watching this team and wanting to pay attention are like, I'm done. Like, I miss the days where I actually could care about this team because they gave a shit what they put on the floor. And those guys cared, and they actually didn't lie to us. And a lot of those fringe Bulls fans don't care anymore about this team. And that's the saddest thing to me, is like, this team doesn't care about the fans so much so that they are just going to continue to double, triple, quadruple, and continuously down on all of their statements. And the BS, like, we can talk about how mind-numbingly stupid some of the quotes Boylan had this week, and same thing with Paxson when he fired Fred Hoiberg, and all of those buzzwords that we all hate. I think the most depressing thing is just seeing fringe Bulls fans, casual Bulls fans, and even more the intense Bulls fans just saying, you know what, I don't know where to go from here, and I'm getting to the point where I'm pretty much done with this team, because it's a joke. Why should I support a team that really doesn't care about getting any better? It doesn't care about making changes where they need to be made. Instead, it's band-aiding and piecemealing and this nepotism that happens with this team so often. And it's wild that this continues to happen with the Chicago Bulls. And you don't see it anywhere else in the NBA. So until further notice, Matt, I will no longer be making fun of the Phoenix Suns, the Orlando Magic, the Sacramento Kings, the Washington Wizards. Or frankly, I feel embarrassed for making fun of the Timberwolves just 2 months ago. Because look at where we are now. You know, that was the funniest thing, Matt. We started on Media Day where we said, you know, isn't it nice that for once we're going into a season, I can completely clearly remember me saying this, that we don't have any drama going into the season, and look where we are, and it's not even the end of 2018.
Yeah, we played, what, like 25 games? Cool. It's ridiculous. I mean, on so many levels, the last 48 hours have completely exasperated me. And look, you and I are no strangers to the bullshit that you have to deal with and the bullshit that they shove down our throats as diehard Bulls fans who follow this team on not just a daily but an hourly basis. So, like, in one way, I was not at all surprised to see all of this dysfunction unfold over the last 48 hours because it's more of the norm. And for a front office that always brags in recent years about, oh, we're so smart, we're so cap savvy here in with the Bulls organization, we got all this cap flexibility, and we were very strict with ourselves. We didn't overspend. We have all these short term commitments while we're trying to gather the best young talent for our rebuild. And you wonder why they swing and miss, and everybody's already dismissing the idea of actually getting any of the big-name top-tier free agents in 2019 to come play here. Why? Why do they always swing and miss? And the fact that the cap that they keep bragging about never fucking matters? It's because of shit like this. It's because of shit like this that gets public and goes national, gets national attention, and makes the Bulls a laughingstock. This once proud organization that won 6 titles, you know, thanks MJ and Scotty. Really appreciate that. Thanks to also Jerry Krause to building the role players around all of those 6 championship winning teams. Since then, in the John Paxson regime, the Bulls have been an embarrassment. This stuff about this front office gets out and players hear it. Players talk. Oh, we've got all this cap flexibility. Oh, cool. What did you use it for? Giving $20 million to Jabari Parker to have a nice fanfare homecoming of a kid with 2 ACL tears who's really not that efficient of a player anymore, so you can put some butts in some seats and sell some jerseys? Give me a fucking break. You wonder why the Bulls are a laughingstock. Nobody wonders why. This is why. This is why no one will come and sign here in 2019 who's worth a damn. Even if Markkanen and Levine and Wendell looks like an exciting young core, what NBA player who saw what went down over the last 48 hours says, that's the front office I want to go work for? You fucking kidding me? That's why these guys have to go.
Bulls fans who've been around, you know, during the Derrick Rose era and then throughout this, whatever this is, I don't even know what this is. I don't know what to call it anymore. I mean, you can call it a rebuild all you want, but I mean, it's a disaster. And it, you're right. And that's the worst part of it all. And Matt, you know, there's Bulls fans that are asking us too, like, is there anything that we can grasp onto? Because frankly, I want to pay attention to this team because this is my team. It's been my team my entire life. And to see it go down this way, what can I grasp to and how does this get fixed? Outside of front office, if the front office is going to stay, what gives you any glimmer of hope? And I said, man, the talent that the Bulls have on this roster has to turn out. The talent has to play through. If these guys on this team aren't that, then we're looking at a rebuild that could be 5+ years. And maybe longer. And maybe longer than that. You just got to hope that the talent wins out. And I don't know how well that's going to play to the narrative of if you want Gar and Pax fired, which 99.99999999% of this fan base wants. I don't know. And that's what I go back to, Matt. As big of a Bulls fan as I am, I'm pissed off because all the negativity and the scrutiny and the criticism comes and falls on this Chicago Bulls team. But at the end of the day, I still like Lauri Markkanen a lot. I still like Zach LaVine. Still like Chris Dunn, Wendell Carter Jr., Bobby Portis, all of those guys that I was so hyped about this summer to actually finally watch them play together. Like, I feel bad. I feel bad for that, and I feel bad for those guys. But at the same time, too, Matt, we drill into the coaching, and we drill into Jim Boylan in the front office, but too, I got to say, man, it's partly to the players. The players aren't completely not guilty in this. These guys got to step up. They do. That's frankly what it is. Zach LaVine, you got to shoot better than 24% from 3 in November. Lauri Markkanen, you got to become a better rebounder, man. Steven Adams dominated the boards on Friday. Guys like that have to become better players. And that's not going to happen overnight. That's fine. But I still feel bad because I want to buy into the players, and everything else around this team makes me just want to forget about these guys. And that's what sucks. And I think a lot of Bulls fans feel the same exact way.
Yeah, that's the shitty part. Because I think, you know, other than the total, you know, woe is me pessimists who refuse to see any of the light in this situation as Bulls fans and only want to talk about the negatives, you know, outside of those fans, there are still, I believe, and I know you believe, Bulls fans that are excited about some of these young players we have and do still truly care about seeing this rebuild through and making the Bulls relevant again. That's what we want. Right? At the heart of it, isn't that what Bulls fans want? We want our team to get back to championship contention, yes. But we want to be relevant. We want to be able to watch games like we watched on Friday night where the Bulls, you know, are running an efficient offense and pouring in 70 first half points and beating a good quality Oklahoma City Thunder team. Games that are fun to watch that result in wins. That's what Bulls fans want. So I'm with you. I still am going to be rooting for these young players this season. But I mean, anytime something happens that reminds us of the complete dysfunction that's going on, whether it's the coaching staff or the front office or the, you know, ownership just turning a blind eye to all of it, absolutely we can call that out as fans and call it like we see it. And when players mess up, we can call them out too. And I think you and I have been very fair as far as praising players who, when they perform well this season, and calling out players who could be playing better and what they're doing wrong. So I'm with you. We can still cheer for these kids, and they have to take some of the responsibility themselves. You're right about that. And it's going to be a really ugly season. Some of you will tune out, not just to our podcast, but to the Bulls in general, because you're sick of it. That's fine. If you don't want to watch, don't watch. If you don't want to believe in this team, don't believe in this team. Find somebody else to root for. That's fine. It is just, it is getting harder to find that positivity and that light and keep our focus on this young core of talented young players who we want to believe in, good days and bad, because we have this huge fucking gray, nasty cloud hanging over all of it. And we know the names that are that cloud. We know the names that are that cloud. And until that big-ass, gray, stinky, awful cloud is gone, it's a challenge to ourselves as fans to keep trying to find the light and find the good. And that's a shitty position for us fans to be in. Some of us will accept that as the reality. Some won't. But hey, today is a new day. Excited to see how they respond against the Kings tonight. It might be a giant dumpster fire. They might surprise us and come out and play well and get a win. Who knows? We all know the situation. It's just about calling it like we see it and calling it honestly, regardless of who is the most accountable on a daily basis versus who we really know at the top of everything is the most accountable. I feel a little bit of, I guess, like a soft spot for the Billboard folks. If you contributed to that Billboard, it's stuff like what happened in the past 48 hours. I certainly understand where you're coming from, but that's not enough. And that's why I always crack jokes about that being a giant waste of money, because they don't care. They don't care because that didn't hit them where it hurts. This is an NBA team that is still in the third largest market in the country, and because of the Jordan era, the most popular basketball team around the globe. People take vacations to come to Chicago to go to the United Center because they're Bulls fans that don't live here. That kind of money is spent on this team on a yearly basis, season by season. And guess what? Through the first third of the season, Bulls are what? Second in the NBA in attendance? That hasn't changed. And until these fans who are so fed up start to hit them where it hurts, in the wallet, the Reinsdorfs are going to turn and look the other way every goddamn day.
I hope this is a change for Jim Boylan. He learns from this first week of experiences. And I hope he turns it around. I hope he gets the players to buy in, man. I really do. But the uphill climb that you have now after you fell off the cliff after your first week, it's going to be an uphill battle to gain the trust of those players back. And you said you need them to trust you. I mean, everything that you did, you better learn from this week, because that's not going to fly anymore. And the players have shown that. And he wants to go back and forth and saying, well, it wasn't all of the players that wanted to revolt. It was a few. You know, it was just a few guys. Well, that few guys can turn into half the locker room, which can turn into the entire locker room pretty damn quickly.
Right. So. And to that Boylan spin that you just referenced, and let's wrap up because I'm fucking sick of talking about this team today. I will reference a different Jim Boylan quote. Putting whipped cream on a turd still tastes like shit.
Whipped cream on a turd still tastes like shit.
Take that for data, Jim Boylan.
Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Let's hope the Kings game tonight is a little bit of a turnaround and a bounce back. And hey, at least we can be happy about seeing Bobby Portis and Chris Dunn back, right? Like, I'm glad to see those guys back playing tonight. And I don't know. I don't know why Chris Dunn's coming off the bench. And maybe we can talk about that a little bit more tomorrow. But drop us some text messages and voicemails. How are you feeling about this weekend? 331-979-1369. We want to hear from you. We've already got a bunch of text messages and voicemails dropped from us mid-game from Saturday. And as these rumors started to develop and these reports started to come out, drop us your voicemail and your text messages, though. We'd love to hear from you. 331-979-1369. But that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. We're live on Dash Radio, Dash Radio. Radio.com and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls _ Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy Bulls and Kings tonight. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com